Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had, wow, what a week we have had. Who will believe this? Who? Nobody will believe what is happening today here in the city of Benton Harbor. Well, here's what's important. For at least 3 years, the people of Benton Harbor have been living with contaminated water, which is why we urgently need safe water right now. Today, we're asking the federal government to come in and do what they need to do. I have no faith in the state. If it wasn't an election year, I don't know whether we were receiving bottled water, even though I think bottled water is important. But I think what they have done, they have hurt themselves, the state. And what I mean by hurt themselves, I see them as coming in, flooding the community with water, not only the city of Benton Harbor, but the surrounding areas. I see that. I see what they have done is just put water here to make them try to make themselves look good, you see. But to me, that don't make you really look good to me. I think what makes you look good, your actions. And they have used the media to their advantage, you know, but it's not working in the community. People see the big picture. Sadly, people actually see what's going on. They're not even happy. They're not happy with what is being said. They're not happy with what is being done. The city of Benton Harbor, all these years of drinking, brushing their teeth, cooking, bathing, and making baby formulas with contaminated water. That's right. When I say contaminated water, I mean exactly that. You see, nobody seemed to care. Black people believe white folks. And I believe white folks is the biggest liars is in the world. You see, not all. I can't say all of them. There, you know, and there's some good and bad in every. There's some good white folks. There's some bad white folks. There's some good black folks and there's some bad black folks. But what I like to say is we got problems. We have straight-up problems here in the city of Benton Harbor. And some of this is, you know, black folks' fault, you know. I'm not sitting here blaming white people for all this. I'm blaming black people, too. We have a mayor here who actually tricked me. He tricked me. But my good friend Belinda Parker Brown, she called him out. She said, that boy ain't no good. That boy ain't never been no good. That boy wasn't no good when he was a baby. That boy is no good. And it's true. I found out the hard way. This guy, he be looking for a white butt to kiss. His biggest joy is taking a picture with the governor. That's right. That's his biggest joy right there. So he can put it on his Facebook page. You know. Wow. Unbelievable. Oh, before that, his biggest thing was taking a picture with Fred Upton. Man, unbelievable. I remember when Jeff Knows, the vice president of Whirlpool Corporation, told him to shut up. Man, I said, man, they had to hold me down because I tell you, I was getting ready to tear into his butt. Not to protect him, but to protect the office more than him. Because I think the office is more important than the man. Because this guy is a straight-up sellout. A straight-up sellout. And those who support him, those who graduated with him, they support him. But that's a small group. You know, it's not big like people think it is. It is what it is. You cannot allow people who created the problem to solve the problem. That's not going to happen. And who want to solve problems in the black community? Who want to solve problems in the black community? Black people don't even want to solve problems in the black community. They don't. They just don't want to do it. You see? And they believe everything these devils say, everything. Oh, here's the thing. The lead has decreased, and they out here doing a victory dance. The lead ain't decreased. It's still at 15. 15 parts per billion. It should be at zero. And they're doing a victory dance at 15. If it was in St. Joe, they wouldn't be trying to do no victory dance because them white folks wouldn't go for it. But black people really don't know. They don't have a clue. And the reason they don't know is that they're so busy trying to make a living for them. Absolutely, absolutely, unbelievable, unbelievable. You know, some of the things that's happening here in the city of Benton Harbor, you have to be here to believe it. My Muslim brothers have decided that they was going to give me an award for the work that I've done, even though I think that what they should do is pull this guy to the side and pull his coat, telling him what he's doing is an embarrassment to the Nation of Islam. I think that that's what they should do. They should take the time out and tell this guy he's an embarrassment. One of the Muslim brothers, he got an interview from one of the radio stations and TV stations, and he said, man, what is wrong with him? He said, what he's saying do not make any sense at all. And he's supposed to be a Muslim, supposed to be taking care of supporting black people. No. He said, that doesn't make sense. I said, well, you know what he's doing? He's kissing up to the governor. He's kissing up to Upton. And he's playing to them rather than the people of Benton Harbor. This guy don't care nothing about black people. He's going to end up being the biggest loser, though. He's going to lose, and he's going to lose big time. Because for one thing for sure, he's dishonest. I don't even believe he likes black folks. You know? I wonder how he go home and face his wife. How did he go home and face his children? How do he do it and still classify himself as a man? How? He be looking for a butt to kiss, as long as it's white. And let me say this. We have the worst police department in the whole wide world. Man, I cannot believe that this guy, they still allowing this guy to be the chief of police. The girl was sexually assaulted, and she's waiting 3 years for him to send it to the prosecutor office, and he never sends it to the prosecutor office. The prosecutor said, we don't have no record of this. No record. But she's not the first one. She's not the first one. That's why people like they taking things into their own hands, because you can't go to the police here. They're getting free money. They are ripping off the residents of Benton Harbor. Benton Harbor Police Department is ripping off the residents of Benton Harbor. You have the worst police chief, you have the worst city manager, and you have the worst mayor. In other words, you don't have nothing coming because you're sleeping. The community is sleeping when they should be wide awake. Man, who would believe this? I mean, this guy is still in there. Still, the chief of police have not solved any crime, none. I don't believe there's one crime. If you go file a police report with them, it never get filed with the prosecutor office. Then they lie about it. The girl been waiting 3 years. 3 years. They turned it over to the prosecutor, had to call Benton Harbor Police Department and ask him, what's up with this case? Oh, the guy that was handling the case, he's no longer with us. That's no excuse. We're going to find a way to sue your butt. Absolutely. And this McGinnis got to go. Oh, he's a piece of work, too. He had the nerve to be cursing somebody out. Somebody should beat him down. That's what they should do. Yeah. Had the nerve. Yeah. A deficiency in this city of Benton Harbor is horrible. Like I said, you got the worst mayor in the whole wide world. This guy, the mayor now, I thought this guy Hightower was bad. This guy's Hightower on steroids. That's right. I thought Watson was bad as a city manager. But this new guy, he ain't on steroids. He just sleeps all the time. He sleeps. And he sleeps. And he sleeps. We was having a meeting with the governor's office. They had to wake his butt up. He didn't want nobody to know, but I knew he was sleeping. He cuts his camera off so you can't see him. I knew he was sleeping. Matter of fact, they knew he was sleeping too, but they didn't say nothing. You know, they don't really say nothing, but look, we're in trouble, black folks. I'm giving you the truth. We just had a double murder on Saturday. And it's, you know, people know that you can't go to the police department and get protection. So you have to take matters into your own hands. You know, you can't get protection. This young lady and her fiance was sitting in her car, guy walked up and shot him. You know? Unbelievable, you know. But we have to make sure that we hold these people accountable for their words, their action, and their inaction. We have to draw the line in the sand. I mean, it's no joy for me to say that we have the worst police department in the whole wide world. You ain't never heard them solving no case. Never. If it wasn't for the state police, nothing. I mean, you would almost be like the Wild Wild West. You got to start wearing your gun on your side. That's right, here in little bitty Benton Harbor. But we accept everything. I mean, how do you walk around with the worst of everything in a small community like this? You got the worst mayor, the worst city manager, and you got the worst chief of police. Oh, man. And you have the nerves to call and want to be on national TV because you know nobody. I will call you out. I don't care how you feel, and I'm not trying to be popular with you either. You don't have to worry about me being in no popularity contest because I'm not into that. What I am into is making sure my black brothers and sisters get justice. And I'm going to say this to everybody. Lead will kill you. Lead will kill you. Anybody tell you different? And I'm so thankful for my Muslim brothers who actually want to give me a, they said they want to have a dinner and present the award to me. And also for calling out this butt-kissing mayor. They like that. They say, well, you know, but I shouldn't be the one doing that. You should be the one doing that. You know, you should be the one that's calling this guy out, saying, look, brother, you know, get this thing right. Because right now you don't have it right. But look, that's enough of me talking. I'm going to bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. I know she got a lot to say. She's been busy. And she's really now not just national. She have gone international on us. And she's a person to be reckoned with. And she the one told me. I mean, she sat down and she told me, she said, Reverend, that man ain't no good. I said, well, you know, I'm going to give him a chance. Give him a chance. And she said, I'm telling you, he's no good. I said, well, I'm going to give the guy. And she was 100% right. She was 150% right. That man is no good. He's bad for his own family. I don't even think he likes his own family. But on that note, let me bring in my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana, Belinda Parker Brown. Talk to me.
Hey, Pastor Pickney. You know, thank you so much for having me on the show today, Pastor Pickney. But I remember that day. Actually, we were sitting in your house, and Marcus was there. You know, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan was there. We were sitting at your dining room table, and we had that conversation. And the reason why I can say that he was no good, Pastor Pickney, you know, he was one of my coworkers at the high school at the time. And I had experienced, you know, this Marcus Muhammad. You know, I had several run-ins with him and discussions with him. And basically, it don't take long to figure out when a person is just straight up lying to you right through, I mean, just giving you a straight face lie. And that's what he did. Every single time I had a run-in with him or tried to have any type of discussion on behalf of the school or the children or the betterment of our community, he would just give me a straight-up lie. And it was proven that he would just lie straight through his teeth. So, I didn't make that up, Pastor Pickney. I had my own personal experience with Marcus Muhammad, and I knew that him becoming the mayor of Benton Harbor was a bad deal. So on that note, you know, you had it right. You had it right all along. You know, I remember when, you know, you were telling the people how important it was for us to come together and, you know, that we needed to, you know, face up to the condition, the state in the condition of our community, to hold our elected officials accountable. And you were organizing and mobilizing the people past the Pickney. We were voting out these corrupt leadership that we had there. And you had it. You had it all figured out. You knew that we cannot win unless we all stick together. You knew that, Pastor Pickney. Way back then, you knew that. But you also know that people don't listen. They don't listen. And I just felt like, just like what you were saying, that I knew Marcus Muhammad was corrupt from my own personal experience with him, and I was hoping that people would listen to me and not vote for him, you know, or even make a recommendation for him to be a candidate to run for mayor in Benton Harbor, because I knew he was not the person that we needed. Who we needed was you. You know, we needed too, and people like Curtis Murphy, you know, people that was going to come in and shut down these white folks that was trying to take over our city.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you so much, Pastor Pickney, and I just wish that people would have listened to you, because, like you said, so many things wrong with Benton Harbor right now, but most importantly, that water is poison. And it's sad because, you know, people are being very corrupt, and it's just so sad because they're taking advantage of the people because of this state and condition that people's minds are in. Their minds are delicate. Their bodies are poison. And this lead has just got people, in a bad state and condition. It's just so sad to even think about it because nobody except for you is really doing anything about it.
And here's you know. Chamberlain. They got all mad. I didn't care about this. They got all mad about me because Foles, the idea that the water was contaminated. I blew the whistle on them. But here's the thing. I didn't blow the whistle on them once. I blew the whistle on them twice. They were trying to lower the lead, the action level. It was at 33 parts per billion. And they were trying to lower it down to 24 by getting additional samples. See, and everybody don't know that, you know, but when you tell them, you can't tell black folks that because first thing black, oh, no, the white man said this. So, you know, but in reality, mm-hmm. I knew the truth. So I blew the whistle on them a second time. And this time, it's Pinckney. It's just Pinckney talking. Yeah, it is just Pinckney talking. But Pinckney got the facts. That's what I got.
And you know, that's what they have a problem with because, see, you know, all throughout a lot of your advocacy there, you were constantly exposed to them. I stood side by side with you, Pastor Pinckney. You know, mm-hmm. I was one of your greatest supporters there. And one of the things that we figured out was that they would lie on the statistics just so that for instance, they would lie and say crime was up when it really was no crime.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then they would go around and manufacture crime. Okay. Because they knew if they told the lie, at some point in time they got to prove it so that they can keep the grant money rolling in, like Benton Harbor was a dilapidated community. So they would lie. They would lie about stuff, just like you say, they lie about the water levels because they knew the water was poisoned. So what they would do is try to discredit your the truth that you were telling, and then they would move the numbers around, shuffle the numbers around, you know, steal the money, all kinds of stuff, and just so that they can get away with it, and then they would deceive the people with all of those lies. That's what they was doing. Even I'm talking about from the housing development to the school grants and city grants and, you know, any infrastructure, any money that was coming into that city to help those people, they would lie about the statistics. So the people in power were benefiting from the state and the condition and basing a whole lot of it on lies, all lies. So they didn't like people like you. They didn't appreciate people like me that would tell the truth.
Absolutely. And you know what?
Now look at them. Now look at the whole city. Because you had it all figured out, Pastor Pinckney. You said the only way we can win this is if we all come together.
Absolutely.
And fight back.
Absolutely. You are 100% for sure. I remember I was at a meeting with Jeff Knowles. You know who Jeff Knowles is, right?
Yes, I sure do.
Yeah, he's the vice president of Whirlpool. We was at a meeting sitting at this table of me, Marvin, Emma Kennard. We was all there. And Jeff Knowles told Marcus, shut up. I'm looking at him. He almost had to hold me down because I was getting ready to tear into his butt, you know, because I said, no, no. I said, you don't have to respect the man, but at least respect the office of the mayor of Benton Harbor. I don't care about him, but I do care about you telling somebody to shut up, and you don't have that authority. Don't be telling folks to shut up when you don't have the authority to do it. Well, I was, Lord, I mean, I told
Ooh,
I had to leave. I said, I have to go. I got to go.
I know that got your blood to boiling, but I want to ask you a question. You know, that is one of the things right there that you just said, that you wanted, you didn't care about the fact that Marcus was trying to get, you know, his photo op. You was caring about the integrity of the title that he carried for the mayor of the city of Benton Harbor, because that's, you know, that is right there. It's the people. It's not him, the person. It's that position was anointed as whoever that it was to be the mayor, that you protected that authority and that role. So my thing is how do you know when you are being sold out? How do you know? You just passed a picnic. You just hit the nail right on the head. He told him to shut up.
Right in front of everybody. It was that dude.
Wow.
Cleve from Cornerstone Alliance was there. Meeks was there from the he's a county commissioner now, Donnie Meeks. It was three other people there. I mean, everybody was. But they didn't see the difference between me and them. They didn't see a problem.
Pastor Pickney, there it is right there. They didn't see a problem because I just asked the question, and I hope the listeners are listening. How do you know when you have been sold out? They tell you to shut up, and then everybody that fits into that category have been bought and paid for. They handpicked Negroes, you know, we used to have all kinds of names for them, Uncle Tom's, you know, Negro managers, all kinds of names
Uncle Tom
for them.
Was a hero. When you think about this guy, and they telling him, they telling the mayor of Benton Harbor to shut up, and you looking at it, I thought sure he was going to say, slow your roll, you know, even if you don't respect me, respect the title. You know what I'm saying?
In the position, right, that he holds for the representative.
Right.
You know, so you was the only one that said something, so you probably was the only one there that didn't have no price tag hanging on you because all the rest of them had been bought and sold.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, they always looking to get some kind of handout. Look, these folks don't like you. If you ain't got nothing to offer them, they ain't going to even talk to you. You see, the only reason they talk to me, because they don't know what I'm going to say or what I'm going to do next. See, that's the only thing. So they're trying to find some dirt on me and stuff like that. You know, I said, you ain't going to never find a man cleaning me, but y'all can always create something because, y'all are good creators of lies. And that's what they use, the newspaper, they use the TV. And these people, I wouldn't even give these people an interview. Everybody was all around the nation wanted to interview me. And these guys, Reverend, can we have an interview? I said, well, I'm busy at that time, you know. If you can come, you take a picture of my team doing the water stuff, I can do that. But this is what they did. Like the Tribune put us on the front page of the Chicago Tribune, big time stuff. The New York Times put us on the front page of their big time stuff. The Wall Street Journal, big time stuff. All these big time newspapers. But the Herald Palladium, they wouldn't put a picture of us on the thing. That's why I wouldn't get them no interview, because I knew that they wasn't gonna do it. But everybody was just they were praising the work that we was doing. Said this they never seen nothing like this before. They said this is huge. And I said, well, we've been doing this for 2.5 years. And listen, Belinda, when I told them that, they said, wow, the guy from Chicago, he said that, you know, I'm going to put you up, your team. I said, don't put me up. Put my team up for award. I said, because they deserve it, because they actually out here. They, even if it's cold right now, they still come out and work. And I appreciate
that.
But the thing was, people see it, and this made the state mad. See, they didn't like that. They didn't like us being praised by everybody. Because everybody saw the...
Well, on the national level, in the international level, Pastor Pinckney, but the sad thing about it is it shows that the local newspaper, the Herald Palladium, is in with the fix. And that,
oh, yeah.
You know, it, right, and those people are, you know, they are the main problem because, see, they control what is really happening there in Benton Harbor and try to keep their thumb on it. But you are bigger than that. Like you say, you are out there on a national, international level, and there's nothing they can do to stop you, but that's what they despise. Like you say, they would try to find whatever they can. But I know you, Pastor Pinckney. I know you are squeaky clean, and when they lied and put you in prison, that was the worst thing they ever could have did because it's all coming back to get them. It's like Malcolm X said, the chickens have came home to roost.
There you go. And you know the thing is, they may have saved my life by sending me there because I think I learned to appreciate life
yeah.
a little bit more. And I, you know, started exercising and doing
mm-hmm.
stuff that, you know, that
right.
and then you put yourself in a position. And then you could think more and analyze what you need to do in order to make things better for the whole community, not just for you, but for the whole community. You see, because it's all about the community. Whether, you know, when I'm dead and gone, the community's still going to be here, but I'm hoping that it'd be better once I leave and build some kind of foundation for them so they can grow and achieve and go on.
Absolutely, Pastor Pinckney. That's wonderful because, but you know, like you said, I know you had it all figured out. It's nowhere that possible that these things would be happening in the city of Benton Harbor had they listened to you way back then in the early 90s, Pastor Vic Pinckney, when you were boots on the ground in the trenches, you know, exposing these people left and right, you know, uprooting that corrupt government. Exposing Whirlpool on the national, international level, you know, was telling people. But, you know, it's so sad that all of these crimes and murders and, you know, things are happening in Benton Harbor on a, you know, just on a magnitude right now. It's just these things would not be going on had they listened back then. I really believe that.
Well, you know, one thing you when you're dealing with my black brothers and sisters, and you know I love them to death, you got to keep moving. You cannot
mm-hmm.
sit there, Belinda, and wait for them because they'll find a reason not to do something than a reason to do something. You see, you should look for a reason to do something, but what we as black folks do, we look for a reason not to do something, and that's what created the problem within us. And they know they got us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what I keep telling people. We are 50 million strong.
Mm-hmm.
50 million. It's 50 million
yes.
black folks. You know, that's a whole country. Some people realize this. And all these judges and all these folks, black folks have a history of believing that most of these judges ain't no good either. They ain't no
right.
good. You know, they
absolutely.
They are no good. And look, and they're going to have their place in the burning fire. They're going to have their place because they all go. I don't see not one that they're going to make it. I don't. But, you know, that's me looking. You know, I can't put you in heaven and I can't put you in hell. But I'm telling you, I don't see a judge today that's honest enough. All the bad things that they have done, especially the black people, that they're going to make it to heaven. They're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. We even got a black judge, Mayfield. She's horrible. She was a baby taker.
Wow.
That's what she was, a baby taker. And she took all the black kids, every chance she got, she took them. She took the kids. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. But people don't look at it like that. Oh, she's a black girl. So what, you know? So what? She's
mm-hmm.
one of them, too. Wow.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yes,
well,
yes, Pastor Pinckney. You know, what's really sad is that, you know, our freedom is up in the air right now because people are fed up with these type of corrupt, like you say, leadership, the judges, the police officers, the prosecutors, you know, the whoever, the mayor, you know, people are fed up with these corrupt politicians that think they can just stay in office and do whatever they want to do. So people are standing up and fighting back. I want to hit this, that Louisiana, you know, we're on the move here in Louisiana. We're rocking and rolling and moving and shaking past the Pinckney, and we got the people standing up and uniting together to shut down every single corrupt politician that come across. And not only that, we're shutting them down, we're locking them up and putting them in prison, Pastor Pinckney. So they got, you know, what we got, our thing is right now, when we identify that we have corrupt leadership, we tell them, we send them a very strong message. And the message is, envision yourself in an orange jumpsuit. When you lay down tonight, ain't no night quail, ain't no sleeping pills, ain't nothing going to stop that vision from coming across your eyes that you seeing yourself in an orange jumpsuit, shackled down, doing the perk work, the perk walk.
There you go. You're walking like a penguin for sure.
That's what we want them to do, because we want them to know that that's the only thing we got for them is that orange jumpsuit and them shackles and them doing the perk walk.
There you go. It's going, and then you can say it's going down, because I tell you, you know, see, Glenda, here's the thing. There should be more organizations like your organization that are willing to take a step out like that, because a lot of times black folks, you know, they throw a rock in their hat, their hand. You see, because they don't want nobody to know it's them. They'll put somebody else out there, get their head cut off, and run and hide and stuff like that. This is why, you know, regardless what the penalty is, if you got something for me, bring it on. That's how you deal with that. You see, and that's the way things are supposed to be.
That's the way it's supposed to be, Pastor Pinckney, and that's what you was telling everybody to stick together, telling the people to stick together. You know, let's all stick together, and we will shut this foolishness down. You know, we will, you know, blow the whistle on them, expose them, and we will make it better for all people. Like you said, you know, it's good white people, it's good, but 85, I would say now we're living in a world where 85% of the people are good people. It might even be 90%. But the majority, what's happening right now is that the good people are not doing nothing, and the bad people is making the good people look bad. So, you know, so I'm saying right now, that's the reason why we're at the boiling point in this country. When we see that, you know, people are fed up with this kind of treatment, we're not going to tolerate this no more. And here in Louisiana, we have taken a stand. I'm telling you, Pastor Pinckney, we putting corrupt judges, sheriffs, you know, police officers, district attorneys, prosecutors, lawyers, we locking them all up. You know, go Google Louisiana and look at, we just put a judge, had the nerve to sit on the bench and then just sit up there and just nigga, and just use that word, you know, carelessly like it didn't even matter. And now she getting ready, she looking at every single case that went before her that she had anything to do with, even if she just signed off on a piece of paper. All of those cases, we're asking that those people be let go free, because we don't trust nothing she did on her watch. So there it is, Pastor Pinckney. And we just put a corrupt sheriff in jail, in prison, life in prison. He going to spend the rest of his life in prison. The sheriff that was the sheriff for 29 years, almost three decades, okay? And not only that, we calling for every single person that he arrested that had anything to do with. We want those people cases vetted to see whether or not, you know, they deserve the chance to be let go free. And the same thing with the district attorney, the prosecuting attorneys. We calling these people to the carpet, and we letting them know, y'all did this stuff, now it's all coming back, and you're going to have to pay for it. We want reparations for these people. And I know you know Reverend Victor. Reverend Victor, his case is moving along, Pastor Victor. I mean, Pastor Pinckney, this man, he want to let you know how much he appreciates your prayers and your support, you know, and that his case is moving along, and we hope to have him free any day now. We are fighting for him left and right.
That's what I'm talking about. Wow, wow. Look, on that note, I got to let you go. But, hey, you tell Pastor Victor, tell him I love him, and he always got a place in my heart, and whatever I can do, just, you know, don't hesitate to call me.
All right, absolutely. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to speak on the show. And people need to go and read about us at our website, Pastor Pinckney. They can go to www.launitedeye.org. That's launitedeye.org. Go to our website and read about us. And if you haven't already joined, join up and support this great work. Thank you, Pastor Pinckney. Have a good evening.
All right. Y'all take care of yourself, and Merry, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and y'all take care of yourself.
All right. Thank
you. All right. That's my good friend from Slidell, Louisiana. Slidell. What kind of name is that for a city? Slidell. Who ever heard of Slidell, Louisiana? Huh? Has anybody ever heard of Slidell, Louisiana? Huh? Talk to me. Hey. It's going down. Let me bring in my good friend Lee. Lee, I know his case is really on the move now, and I, you know, it's amazing when you think about law and how the law works. It don't work good for us, you know. It's just like bleach. Bleach works real good for whites, but it destroys color. So that's how our legal system operates. It works real good for white folks, but it doesn't do anything for color. Lee, are you there? Talk to me.
Hey, how you doing, Reverend Pinckney?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking, trying to make it happen. That's all I can do.
Yes. Yes. As far as on my end, you know, It's a lot, you know.
Let me ask you this. Here, I'm gonna go here first. When do you go to court?
Well, they got me scheduled to go pretrial. It's the 2nd of February, and then that's the plea cutoff date, and then they got a pretrial conference, and on the 25th is the actual trial. And the thing is, this is something that's interesting because I guess what they tried to come to me with, the judge didn't find it acceptable. You know, I don't know the in-depthness of it, but it was something within their language. It was pretty much, I'm going to be honest with you, I seen it and read it, and I was like, this don't sound right.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, honestly, the judge probably looked at it like, this don't sound right either. You know, what is you guys trying to do here?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people is really looking at it, the whole case. I mean, everybody knows, the U.S. attorneys know it, that it's full of corruption. The police knows that everything they did was corrupted. I mean, even to the point, because they still got a tube of my blood. Everybody is missing that part of it, that these officers went and used a medical condition that I was having during the time to acquire a tube of my blood, told me something totally false.
Mm-hmm.
But I only found out the truth of it when something said, go get your medical records. And it's a lot of covering up with this case.
Know that.
A lot.
But you know this, Lee. This is what they do, and they've been getting away with this for hundreds of years. That's when it comes to black folks. They use the same formula on everybody. They'll use that on me, you, and everybody else.
Well, I'm going to give you a prime example. Exactly. Like, let's look at even Keenan, the situation with Keenan Beard. That was a national story. Everybody knew, everybody in the neighborhood knew the people that was involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they even got his mother, who currently at the moment, she's, I don't know, is she afraid to say something? Or which officer actually came to her to say, hey, you know, we was investigating your son for this particular crime. So it was like, okay, y'all knew what happened. Y'all knew the reason why this man, what happened to him in front of that school.
Mm-hmm.
But for it to be such a national story, how can this, I mean, it just be covered up and swept under the rug and, you know, these guys was able to continue on doing the crimes they were doing and continue on murdering. And it's like everybody knew it. Everybody, the whole community knew it. You know, people was, they pretty much feared and installed fear in a lot of people to speak up. And it's really what it is.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of situations. I mean, this ain't the only situation. Do you understand
now, remember
this?
Remember, black folks scared of the police officers. They scared to death of them.
Oh yes, yeah. They'll kill each other in a minute. You know, they'll do whatever they choose to for a person stepping on their shoe or anything. You know, and it's sad to say
that
our people was conditioned that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the reality of it. And the thing
Absolutely.
Is, I mean, me, I was the only one that was like, okay, you know what? This can't keep going on. This been going on many years. My situation, this ain't the only situation that had happened with this. You know,
mm-hmm.
even with the guy Kenyell Brown, the way they do it is they know that guy was not credible. So they say, well, he didn't give us no information that led to any convictions. But what it is, they'll use him. And then when it comes to a person going to trial or anything like that, they won't use him or his statement or anything during that trial. So a person would never know that this serial killer who law enforcement allowed to go free on the street to do whatever he chooses to do, but they'll tell you we're fighting crime, violent crime, but they're allowing those who's committing the ultimate violent crimes to roam free and convict nonviolent offenders. So this, like I say, this ain't the first time this happened in my situation. There's a guy named Wilson Rivera that I know, and I happened to see a campaign about his case and his conviction. And I was like, you know what? It's crazy because the officers that was involved in his situation were also, one of them officers had killed somebody in retaliation for his own son. But this man still, you know, was framed up with a case, and this is how this been, like I say, this been going on for years. It's not just Southwest Detroit. It's Detroit, period. Actually, I seen an article from a guy out of Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Brother wrote an article, and it was shocking because I've been trying to reach out to him because it's like, wow, this is the same thing that seemed like it's happening in every black community all over. Those
mm-hmm.
who are actually the perpetrators of crimes are framing innocent people, you know, for these crimes. And then after years of them finding ways to get exonerated for these crimes, the real killers are still free on the streets.
Yeah.
But this is a ongoing situation, and it's real odd that out of a lot of the places, a lot of the states and everything, that Michigan got the highest rate of overturned convictions.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The truth is, they already know who did it. We're going to take your life, take you through hell, and let you find a way out of it. And then, yeah, you'll go free, but we done destroyed your life.
Most times you ain't going to go free.
That is very true, because there's a lot of...
99.9% of the time you're not going to go free. It's usually just, you know, we got the highest cases where people have been, you know, even I'm one of them. I'm a victim twice. That it happened to me twice. I was just fortunate, thanks to God, that I was able to get it reversed. Because you know, to get one case reversed is huge, but to get two, wow, that's that's just too amazing, you know. But I'm right there though. I'm right there.
Yeah, it's like I say, there's many people that, like you say, that don't have the opportunity to get their case overturned. So they're
no, absolutely.
They're in a situation
not.
Where they're stuck.
Yeah. And you said
you
the right word, stuck. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, if we'll get more cases overturned if we were more together. You know, if something happens, you know, they know that we're going to be together on that. It'll change everything, and that it will. But look, you got about 2 minutes. I got to move on. But tell us what you want everybody to know, and I'm gonna get you on next week. So we can really get into it.
Well, one of the things is we gotta bring awareness to it. I mean, you know, I know a lot of times I ain't been on the show in a minute, but I have been still working in the shadows.
Yeah,
you know,
I understand.
Getting people
to still
speak out. And I've been getting other people to speak out. So, and the more I get to speak out, and the more attention is brought to this and how this is constantly occurring, I mean, we could free a lot of people that's honestly innocent. That's honestly innocent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And you know what? That's a true statement, too. We can do it. But, you know, a lot of times people don't get involved with situations unless it concerns them directly. And I think that's one of the biggest problems. I used to have people talking about, oh, I ain't going to be going over there messing with them people. And soon something happens, they want you to drop everything you're doing and go help them. That's the sad part. Yeah. Look, I got to let you go. I got to move on. But listen, next week, let's get together and talk, and then you can tell us more about what's going on, because I'm very, very interested who's who now. I lost track of them.
Oh, okay.
All right,
well, I most
brother.
Definitely. Oh, wait.
All right, then. There you go, my brother. All right now. Man, his case is something, man. You think about all the murders, you know. I remember they talked about one time when I was in prison, this guy came to me and told me that they gave him a body. They gave him a body. He said, "Well," I said, "what you mean they gave you a body?" He said, they told me they was going to give me two bodies, but they said one was sufficient at this time. So I said, unbelievable. Let me bring in my good friend James. James, talk to me.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Reverend Picnic?
All right. You know me. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
You know, it's a shame the way black folks have been treated in this country from day one, and we cannot get enough blacks to support the blacks in Benton Harbor. I mean, we have what, from 6 in the morning to 8 or 9 o'clock at night, Monday through Friday, we got more black radio hosts than we actually got a radio station, and they're all on the same station, and no one supports their own race of people in Benton Harbor. To hear these radio hosts every day talking about black people, black folks should join and unite another race when something happened to them, but they don't ask the other race to support the black race. You see, it has to be true. The white man and the white woman got to be the baddest thing that ever walked this face of earth with two legs and 2 feet. Got to be. Now, black folks every day, I know you probably don't hear it on your radio, the signal probably don't go up there. Black folks every day say, God, our God is black. No, it's not. If our God is black, he has sold us out. He got to call it like it is. He has sold us because the values everybody else is doing for them. What is it everybody else God is doing for them? Either our God or, see, we all supposed to be God's children, right?
Right.
Ain't that what they tell us? We all are God's children. So evidently, God child support. And these kids who God owes child support to is driving these Hellcats as a police officer chasing their dad.
Mm-hmm.
This is why nothing would ever be done for the black race. We have been sold out. We've been sold out. Now, January next month, the 20th, 2022, the massacre killing in Detroit, well, outside of Detroit, would be in court. It should have been in court already, but they keep postponing that 6-year-old baby boy that was massacred, killed. This other trial that just happened last week, where the white female cop shot the 20-year-old, that happened in April in front of this guy that's 6 years old, that happened in 2020, October the 1st, killed the whole family, executed, cut the babysitter's head off. But these black radio hosts, they won't talk about it. And most of the callers that call these shows every day, they won't talk about it either. So I got to salute that white man, because there's no way Ben Harper should have lead in the water, but everybody want to talk about take a vaccine shot. But I guess the water is safe to drink. Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, y'all defending the Mexicans coming across the border, but when you going to send your black peoples? The only way you're going to defend them, if they're killed by a white person. What about the Arabs that are doing all the killing in Detroit? You won't talk about them because you've been programmed not to. Sam Reynolds never supported the Charter Commission in Detroit because I was going there. Sam didn't go because I called his show every weekend it was over. He would never support it. Finally, he supported, but he didn't stay long because three different occasions, the Detroit police come running up in there. Just so happened, Sam done disappeared like Houdini. How did he know the police was coming? Three different occasions. Thankfully, you keep talking about the mayor, Duncan of Detroit. But 2018, at the celebration of Martin Luther King's celebration, you choked out when the mayor of Detroit spoke in front of you. You didn't want to correct him then, but you go on the radio every day talking about that mayor. It's because that white man allow you to do that. You a traitor amongst your own peoples, too. You and Sam and Livonia, you a sellout, too. Because I called your show to tell you about the 6-year-old that got killed. You had to Google it, but you knew every congresswoman or man that was chased during January 6th. But you don't know that 6-year-old baby's first name or last name or the 28-year-old babysitter who had they chopped off after they blew her brains out of her head, like they blew the brains out of that 6-year-old baby head. See, this is our problem, Reverend Pinckney. I hate to say it, Pinckney, you're a strong man. But if you ain't got these blacks who you think black behind you, you can't win. But don't give up. At least go down like a champion. Don't go down like a sucker sellout. These copycat sellouts is what they are. And this is why they tell their listeners, oh, we don't condone violence, but you allow your black people to keep us different. This is our problem. Until they get back to know their neighbors, see, they separated the neighbors for a reason, put all these vacant houses in there. so you can call the radio host instead of talking to your neighbor next door. They don't want to tell it, Pinky, but I'm going to tell it like it is. Black folks, since we come out of our mother's womb, we the only race have dark days and dark nights. We can turn the light on at nighttime. And we know the light bill is paid, but it's still dark in the room.
There you go.
It's still dark.
There you go. Yeah.
No race is going to come and help the black race. This is why the black race is going to be extinct. Lead in the water. You can find a cure to a virus, but as long as there was lead in the water, you can't find a cure for lead in the water, and you kill your own black people every day. Well, it's all right to drink it. Just put a little Kool-Aid in there. You can't tell the difference. See, this is the problem with the black race.
Right on.
For us. So we need to turn off the damn radio and go for what
you
know. Because it's coming to that anyway. Black radio host is not for black people. How can you have a Democrat on radio host and no Republicans? Because they don't want you to hear the other side. See, I need the white radio station too. It's just like Walmart.
Right. Hey, James, we ran out of time. We'll come back next week, same time, same station. And listen, you take care of yourself, and Merry Christmas to you, my brother. Hello? All right.